Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm a big believer in being realistic with yourself. Self-awareness, I believe, is the most underrated skill in any walk of life. Knowing who you are and where you are in your life is going to dictate a lot of smart decisions or horrific decisions that you make. Case in point, E40 has a line: don't buy an $80,000 car before you buy a house, right? It's something that I live by. It really is. One of the things my wife and I did for a long, long time, and everyone has their own prerogatives, but in terms of money management, we said, hey, we are not going to go on extravagant trips. We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to buy big vehicles, you know, luxurious outfits and things like that. We wanted to save up for a house. And it took a long, 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 long time. And I watched a lot of other people who were my friends and stuff go overseas, go here, go there. And they got great experiences. And I'm not mad at them for that. But my prerogative was I want to be able to own a home, right? And I knew how expensive and how difficult it was going to be because we didn't have family money to just co-sign or give us a chunk of dough to go buy something.
Sure.
And so we bought our home and we've kind of chipped away, right? We were self-aware, knowing where we wanted to be in life 5 years, 10 years down the road. It's applicable to the San Francisco Giants situation. I tweeted out on 7/22 and I said it on the airways the next day on 7/23. Which was July, leading into the trade deadline. This team is not a playoff team. They have certain assets. They need to be self-aware. They need to be realistic, okay? You have to look long-term. You were fourth place in the division. You were chasing five teams in the wild card. You are not going to go on a run. You went through the rotation one time with Robbie Ray returning, with Blake Snell, with Birdsong, with Harrison, and Logan Webb. And you thought you had the best rotation in baseball and that you were going to magically go on a run that we all knew was unrealistic. But you had an asset in Blake Snell, a left-handed starting pitcher who was dominant during this stretch. And instead of moving that guy at the deadline for anything, you just lost him to the Los Angeles Dodgers in free agency for nothing. Now, he could sign with the Dodgers, and we'll get into that in a second. But I said on that day, the week before the deadline, you need to get something for Blake Snell. In a normal situation, when you lose a free agent, you get a second or third round conditional pick. Some sort of a qualifying offer pick. But in that situation, when you sign Matt Chapman and when you sign Blake Snell in the previous offseason, you lost your second and third round pick. You were not going to get a qualifying offer if he left you. So it behooved you to get something, anything, a low-level prospect, something for him. It's asset management. The handful of starts you were going to have in September from him were going to be not memorable. And they weren't going to net you anything for 2025 and beyond, which is when you really were trying to contend, right? Right now, you're not. 2024, you were not a contender. Just be realistic. They didn't trade Blake Snell. He started a couple of games, wouldn't even take the ball in the final week of the season, all right? And then he left in free agency to your rival, and you get nothing out of it. The worst asset management has happened over the last 4 or 5 years, and thank God Farhan's gone. But for the life of me, it made no sense to not trade Blake Snell at the deadline.
Signs a 5-year, $182 million deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And listen, I was watching him last year in that second half, and I was like, why doesn't a team like the Yankees, and I'm sure they Baltimore. Feel stupid, but so many teams Houston. Are kicking themselves for not trading for that guy because he could have been the difference. If the Yankees had Blake Snell, who knows? Maybe they do win the World Series. Maybe something does change. Now that doesn't change their defense and how porous that was behind Gerrit Cole in that final game of that series. But to your point, not getting anything back for him, and we were talking about that all summer ad nauseum. I know Bonte was in here. Don't sell Snell. That's when he started coining that when I was filling in for you. I thought it was silly then. I'm not ragging on Bonte. Like, there are a lot of fans that felt like, hey, if we keep him, maybe we could re-sign him. But just judging where this team was going, why would Blake Snell want to re-sign here? Like, why would he do that? I understand Robbie Ray opting back into his contract. He's rehabbing. He's a former Cy Young winner, but he needs that security for next season. And then next season is going to be his other Blake Snell kind of a year, right? So maybe Buster Posey learns from this mistake. And then next trade deadline, right? If Robbie Ray's doing the same thing, maybe they flip him for a couple prospects. But I just, for the life of me, there is no way. And Farhan talked about this during the summer. He was saying, like, yeah, you know, we weren't blown away by anything. Well, I'm still probably giving the Yankees something. Like, give me something from the Yankees. Give me something from, I don't know, whoever else was out there. The Orioles. Someone was trying to trade for him. A couple. You couldn't get a couple of prospects for Blake Snell. If they're double A, if they're single A, I don't know.
Something is better.
It didn't make sense.
Something is better than nothing. And I was pounding the table. He's the most coveted, you know, starter on the market. Hands down. It was not even a question. And he's dominant when he's on. But again,
he was having the best stretch of any pitcher last year.
No doubt. And he's
outside
a lefty.
Outside of Chris Sale and Paul Skeens.
And this is exactly what Farhan said the day after the trade deadline. Farhan on the decision not to trade Blake Snell. I think trading him would have changed the course of the season where we still believe in what we can accomplish. It was really going to have to be something that would change the course of the future here. See, Farhan, this is why you're gone, buddy. Like, you had to see beyond the forest a little here. You got to look down the road, all right? You were not making the playoffs after one turn around the rotation thinking that that's what you were. It was so foolish. And here's the other part. The Giants could have easily signed him. I even put it out there. I said on these airwaves, give him $200 million over 5 years. Oh, it's too risk averse. It's like, yeah, I know it's baked in with risk, but he's going to go to somebody that's going to hurt you if you don't sign him. You lost him for nothing, and he went to your rival. Well, congratulations. Let's all remember and cling to those three starts in September. Thank God you kept Snell. Do you remember him? I'm a diehard Giants fan. Do you remember him? No. Do you remember him? No. How about you, Sam Lubman? Do you remember any of those starts in September from Blake Snell?
Blake Snell started in September?
Exactly.
Hey, he had a complete game. Didn't he have like a no-hitter too?
Oh, yeah. 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 We'll never. Look.
Let's raise the banner for it.
The other station does this day in Giants history. No one will ever reference one of the September starts from Blake Snell. You should have traded him. So dumb.
It's like that one year with John Lester in the A's.